In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you again. I'm spending my last hour here in St. Michael, Minnesota, and it's warmed up nicely. It's now about 5 degrees outside. At least it's above zero today. Enjoying this cold weather, but getting ready to head home after the show, heading to the airport. And today is Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the readings for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. And Jesus actually gives us a challenging gospel today from Luke chapter 6. You know, this is the one where he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. You know, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. You know, that's the way the gospel starts. You know, so this is a tough gospel in a sense that, you know, usually, you know, Jesus' teachings are tough, you know, living the faith with passion and conviction. And this is no different. Boy, when's the last time you thought, man, I can't stand this person? I don't want to be around them. I want to have nothing to do with them. But you know what? Let me pray for them. Like, honestly, right? I mean, that's hard to do because you're talking about people you didn't want to think about. You know, people that, someone that drove drunk and hurt or injured somebody that you loved. You know, someone who took money, stole money from you. Someone who assaulted you. Someone who abused you. Someone who, you know, just climbing over your back at work. You know, I mean, these are people you don't even want to think about anymore. But Jesus says, no, we have to pray for them. You know, that the sacrificial love that I'm going to do on the cross, that love and that mercy we have to extend to others, even to those who do injury to us. That's really hard. So today would love to hear how you've overcome in following Jesus's words in the gospel, how you've overcome that kind of adversity, in your own situation with someone that you hate. Have you done it through prayer? Have you done it through fasting? Have you maybe sat down with the person and talked it out with them? I mean, cause again, we're talking about tough stuff here today, but Jesus challenges us not just to pay lip service to our faith, but to live our faith. Would love to hear from you today. Give me a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And, you know, today's gospel reminds me of why we're doing Beacon of Truth. You know, the purpose of our show is to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy with Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith by doing one thing really well, living out the words of St. Paul in Ephesians 4:15, by speaking the truth in love. Because truth ultimately is not a philosophy, it's not an idea, it's a person. Right? It's not something you form your mind. Truth is a person. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we want to enter into dialogue, create points of entry for people who may not believe in Jesus, who don't know Jesus, who maybe have fallen away from their faith, their Catholic faith, and to create a bridge, an avenue of reconnection for people, right? That's what religion means, right? Ligion is a Greek word for ligament. That's where the word ligament comes from, means to join. And so religion means to rejoin, right? So we want to create avenues and pathways for people to rejoin that connection, that relationship, that intimacy with Jesus Christ. And boy, the Lord really challenges us in the gospel for this Sunday to do just that. So we're going to talk about that today on Beacon of Truth. Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's word for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time year C, which is, of course, focuses on, although not exclusively, but focuses on Luke's gospel. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love doing this show each and every day is because we have some great people. Not that, you know, that I dislike, you know, like the Lord is talking about, but that I have actually esteem for and pray for. I'm talking about Michael McCall, who does social media, and Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls. And what can we say about our producer, Ace McKay? You know, in the roller coaster of life, Ace is part of that roller coaster that gives you the biggest thrills. Ace McKay, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm always front car if I'm going to do if I'm going to do the roller coaster, because I like that drama just before you drop. You know?
No, I can't do that, dude.
No, not at all.
No, I'm not a thrill. No, that's definitely not me.
Well, we went to Disney. Took the kids. This was probably 3 or 4 years ago now. So it was the first time they'd ever been on roller coasters. So my daughter had done her research and watched like every video that anyone had posted on every coaster at Disney World, and so she had built up in her head how dramatic it was going to be, and so she didn't ride anything until like the last day, where it, like Universal, and she rides the Toy Story coaster, which goes it just goes wee, wee, you know, maybe a little turn, you know, and she's like, this is the best. I was like, you're a teenager. You need a little, you know. So now she's like, we got to go back. I'm ready. Let's do them all. I'm like, okay. But then my son, who we did the Mummy ride, and he saw real fire above his head. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was like, buddy, there's no way we would have been burned. He's like, I don't care. I'm done. I was like, so any coaster from that on the rest of the week, it was just me. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of roller coaster. I'm just not a thrill. See, I mean, yeah, I fly all the time, right? But
sure,
that doesn't mean that
that's just, know, up and down.
Roller coaster is my thing.
Yeah, you're more of a carousel guy.
Yeah, you know, but I like the bumper cars and that kind of thing.
Sure,
those things are cool. But I mean, since the kids are all adults now, I just don't go to amusement parks anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we used to when they were younger, but not so much anymore.
So what would be considered, what would be a family vacation like that you would all go do?
Well, these days, like, we haven't done one in a while. So what I've been doing, we used to go to Disney, you know, when I was on the ATAP, Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. Mm-hmm. I used to attend the conference every year, which was in Anaheim, you know. And so obviously we take the family, we go to Disneyland. That would be almost like an every year trip that we would do. And there's also a trip to the Oregon coast through the parish, not my parish that I'm assigned to as a deacon, but Holy Redeemer, which is the one of the parishes over, you know, not too far from us. That's where the kids went to school. And they used to have a beach kind of camp out every year.
Yeah.
That they used to do, too. But now what I decided to do, not that they're adults, is individual trips with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so with Benjamin and Sophia, we took them to Banff up in Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a lot of fun. Oh, and there's Jack talking about the sea lions again. Him and his sea lions at the Oregon coast, I tell you. That must have been just a transformative experience for him.
Talk about a carousel guy.
Yeah, right. So we took the twins to Banff, my wife and I, and then I'm doing a trip with Claire. Claire, obviously, she's a biology major, loves nature. Hmm. We're going to do some bird watching in California this summer. And then next year, Angela and I, my middle daughter, we're going to go to Barbados.
Nice.
She's the one that's most interested in that part of the family tree. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been back to Barbados since 2010, the year after my mom died. So so we're going to go. Yeah. And
that's awesome.
She's excited. She's saving up and everything. I don't want you to pay for me with, you know, I want to do this on my own. Save up money for the airfare and stuff, and we're going to go next summer.
Yeah,
a year from now.
I know a lot of people like to do, like, the ballpark tour, where they'll go, like, you know, Wrigley and, you know, all the big stadiums to say, and I'm that way with concerts till concerts got so expensive that it's like a tuition. Mm. And so I'm like, if it's a small show, then that's one thing, but I can't do the big venues
anymore. Well, that's the thing. Artists
don't
make money off records anymore, especially when you have Spotify. You just download the record and you just pay a monthly fee and a little bit of that gets parsed out to the artists. So they're not making money off records anymore, record sales. Like back in the day, that was a good part of their income. Now it's music publishing, which is it behooves them to have their own publishing company and then partner with the record company's publishing.
Yeah.
That way they get more of the money. And then concerts.
Sure.
Is the other way. You know.
And they're worthy. I just don't know that I love you that much. Yeah. $100 hoodie does not say much, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But that's I mean, you know, and that's the thing. When you go see a band like that, you want to take some piece of them home with you.
Sure.
So you can bring it, you know, record on your phone now, which you weren't able to do before. No, you can also get merch, too.
Yeah.
That's another way to do it. Yeah. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the seventh Sunday in ordinary time. Grab your Bibles and give us a call. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Can't ride coasters, you gotta rock and roll.
Yeah, that's it. This is something I've been enjoying riding a roller coaster. I was saying the other day, actually, when you were gone, that I saw a news article that Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats can't play guitar anymore.
Really?
Yeah, he has a debilitating disease that's gotten worse. He said during this last tour, he said he felt like when every time he played guitar, it felt like he had a glove on.
Oh, wow.
You know, and now he's at a point where he's having trouble like tying his shoes and things like that. So he made the announcement that he's not playing guitar anymore.
That's sad. That's
I know.
I don't ever want to get to that point. You know, like it's one thing to not do things like feed yourself and go to the restroom, but like I still got to play. I mean, like, it's just such a part of who I am. I can't even imagine. So,
yeah, I always wonder, musicians, you know, like, what happens when they, you know, like, singers, you know, like, when they retire and stuff, like, you know, like, hopefully that's not so much a part of their life, like, they feel like they don't have to live anymore. Like, they feel, you know, like, they, you know, now that I'm not doing this, my life has no purpose and meaning. You know, and that's why I love being Catholic, being a person of faith. You know, realizing that whatever gifts that God has given us, you know, they're used to glorify Him and to edify people. Think of the musical artists who, through their extraordinary talent, has entertained, you know, probably over the course of their career, you know, millions of people. You know, and that is their gift. And because they can't use the gift or utilize that gift as much as they used to, doesn't mean that they no longer have worth.
Yeah.
See, so we got to have that separation between the gift and your self-worth and your identity.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think that's why you see a lot of artists that do like shows like American Idol, where they're giving back to the next generation. So you don't necessarily see them performing, but they're passing on all of their wisdoms. You know, so that kind of stuff, I think, you know, is another avenue in which you can give back without, you know, well, my voice isn't where it used to be, or my playing skills aren't what they were, you know, were when I was 20, 30 years old. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But you just pray you do it for as long as you can, especially something physical like that.
Right.
You know, where, you know, you're using this, where dexterity becomes really important.
Amen.
So, yeah. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Wednesday. That means you grab your Bibles because it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the seventh Sunday in ordinary time, where Jesus gives us a challenging gospel about praying for those that we dislike, praying for those who persecute us. Imagine that for a second. Someone who's persecuting you, and your response to them is not anger, not vitriol, not revenge, but prayer, right? And Jesus shows us this example himself by praying from the cross for those who were killing him. You know, so very challenging gospel today, but love to hear from you, your story of how you've overcome adversity and how you pray for someone, whether it's praying, fasting, you know, trying to open the door to dialogue, whatever it is. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986.
Well, for your kids at home, you want something to read, maybe at bedtime or dinner time or just any time. Great stuff from Louise Lent. Claudia McAdam is the author, and it's available in the Religious Catalog, helping us to understand and our kids using things like toys and candy and whatnot and how that pleases God. And you can find out more about this available when you check out EWTNRC.com. Remember that we've got free shipping. When you have orders of $75 or more, just use the code word free at checkout. Again, EWTNRC.com.
All right. I love these Word of God Wednesdays because it often means a double feeding of God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take one of the Psalms from the Sefer Tehillim, or the Book of Sung Praises from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we connect it to your everyday lived experience. Because we hear these Psalms at each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, we want God's Word to penetrate our hearts more deeply. So today we're taking continuing our look at Psalm 80. So Psalm 80 is in Book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73 to 89. And Psalm 73 to 83 are by the author Asaph. Asaph, of course, means gather in Hebrew. And so we're going to continue our look at Psalm 80. So the prescript or the superscript of this psalm says, for the choir master, or lemenzeach, intone like lilies of testimony. So of Asaph, ha Asaph, a psalm mizmor. So Asaph wrote this psalm, gave it to the choir master, and wanted the choir master to create music for this psalm to sound like this kind of the same tune as Lilies of Testimony. Now, of course, have no idea what Lilies of Testimonies is. No idea like what other psalm, what that would have sounded like. You know, but he definitely wanted this to sound like Lilies of Testimony. A beautiful psalm here, Psalm 80. And we're going to pick up at verse 15. So if you have your Bibles, Psalm 80, verse 15. Now, verse 15 starts one of the recurring verses, almost like an antiphonal verse, which occurs four times in this psalm. Verse 4, verse 8, verse 15, and verse 20. All right. It says, God of hosts, turn again, we implore. Look down from heaven and see. All right. So it's the psalm started off, O shepherd of Israel, hear us, you who lead Joseph like a flock. So Asaph is crying out for God to listen and to hear about whatever's going on in his life, whatever's going on in his heart. And so 15, God of hosts, turn again, we implore. Look down from heaven and see. So again, entreating God to look back toward him. Because again, in the Psalms, typically when God is not looking at you, it's again, using human language, human idiom, human analogy to describe God kind of turning away from us. Of course, God never turns away from us. God doesn't have a body, right? God the Father is pure spirit. But again, in trying to make a deeper connection and a deeper relation with the psalm and with God, you know, you're saying, turn again, we implore, turn back toward me. Because right now I feel like you're turned away from me, that you're not engaged with me right now. So turn back, look down from heaven and see. Reign in that what's called the highest heaven or the third heaven, as sometimes it's referred to, as St. Paul refers to it as the third heaven. Look down on us and see. You know, see our plight, Lord. Look at our struggles. And come with your power to save us. You know, so, and God did this in its fullness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he continues, visit this vine and protect it, the vine your right hand has planted. So remember that this is an agrarian society, and they often use the imagery from agriculture in order to make a point and make a connection in their relationship with God. So now they are the vine, that God has planted, that God's right hand, his strong hand, that has planted. He says, and what's interesting here that's not in the original Grail is this second part of verse 16. It says, visit this vine and protect it. The vine your right hand has planted. This line, the Son of Man you have claimed for yourself. Right? Very interesting line here. Because remember, there's the Son of God, right? And there's the Son of Man. So the Son of God was a term used for godly men, right? You are sons of God. You know, we see this in other parts of the Psalms as well. You know, I have called you sons of God, right? You know, holy men striving to live a life of holiness. But Son of Man often refers to the Savior, right? The coming Messiah as the Son of Man. So he talks about this vine that God has planted, firmly planted. He's talking about the people of Israel, the people who God has chosen and selected to be the vehicle through which he's going to communicate his life to the rest of the pagan nations around them. He says, the Son of Man you have claimed for yourself. So Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, uses this term Son of Man. So, you've planted your hand, and you've secured this planting of your right hand with the Son of Man, right? You have claimed for yourself. They have burnt it with fire and cut it down. Now they're talking about the scale of the problem here. The enemies have taken this vine, they have burnt it with fire and cut it down, and now they issue a quote-unquote curse, right? An imprecatory statement here that says, may they perish at the frown of your face, right? So I like that. So those are people who are trying to hurt us, people trying to destroy us. Now, Jesus says, and we're going to hear in the gospel in Luke chapter 6, he says to pray for them. You know, but here is more of an imprecatory response, which is, may they perish at the frown of your face. So God, look down from heaven, see our plight, see, you know, this vine that you have planted, that you have placed the Son of Man to protect it. You know, the people are coming and they're cutting it down. They're burning it with fire. Frown upon what they're doing, Lord. You know, frown upon this attack against us, you know, which in response to that, that's going to cause them to perish. May your hand, again, it continues in verse 18, may your hand be on the man at your right hand. So here's this, the sense of the right hand. Again, nothing wrong with left-handed people. That's nothing to do with it. But your right hand is your oath-swearing hand, right? This is the hand you swear an oath with. May your, and this is why I said Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It says, may your hand be on the man at your right hand. The Son of Man you have confirmed as your own. Again, looking forward to the coming Messiah. The man who sits at the right hand of God, who the Son, again, called the Son of Man, who you confirmed as your own. Right? So, and we see this, and when we take a look at Psalm 110, we're going to see this very, very clearly. And we shall never forsake you again. Give us life that we may call upon your name. When I pray this psalm, when it comes up in the Psalter, this is my favorite part. And we shall never forsake you again. Give us life that we may call upon your name. Why? Because I think about what the Son of Man did for us on the cross, right? The ultimate redemption. Bringing us into that relationship of intimacy with Lord through his death, conquering the last vestige of Satan that separates us from God's love. And because of what the Son of Man did for us at the right hand of God, we shall never forsake you again. Give us life that we may call upon your name. I love that. And then finally, that repetitive verse, O Lord God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine forth. And we shall be saved. Seek the face of the Lord and yearn for him, because the more we yearn for the Lord, the more we yearn for our own salvation. Word of God Wednesday, 7th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Grab your Bibles, 833-288-EWTN. Something like the Cars or something like
anything Candio, that early 80s rock or synth was starting to be Everybody had to have a synthesizer or
everybody
a guitar.
DX7? Was that the one that everybody used back then?
Yeah, DX7. Yeah, I have a friend who's long hair. He's like 6'4", and he plays a guitar on stage with his band. And I was like, bro, do you know how ridiculous you look? He goes, I know. He goes, but it's so much fun.
That keyboard, like you strap around your
neck.
Yeah,
you just strap it like a guitar, but you know it has, you know, you're playing it like, you know, upright. Yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But who am I?
Some guys,
he's on stage and I'm not.
That too sometimes. Like they'll have some songs where he'll use that, you know, for to play part of the song.
For sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you have one of those?
I do not.
Okay.
I sit down like every other pianist.
Yeah. It's Beacon of Truth. Today, I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and it's Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. So we're focusing on Luke's Gospel. And boy, today, Jesus gives us a challenging gospel. We're going to hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and let's figure out together how to put these into our life, because Jesus did it himself from the cross, what he's teaching us today about praying for those who persecute us, praying for those that we dislike. He did it himself, so he gave us the model. But would love to hear from you today. Well, what are some, can you get past, or how have you gotten past the hardness of heart towards someone? And maybe you still feel that right now. You're still having trouble getting past that in order to open your heart deeply to give that person the mercy and the forgiveness that Jesus calls for us to do today. You know, would love to hear your story, your testimony. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you've got questions about the Catholic faith or maybe your own personal journey, Father Gerald Murray ready to take those tomorrow with EWTN Open Line. You can check that out just before our show here on EWTN. So if you get a second to be thinking about your question, maybe write it down. There's ways to call, text, email ahead of time if that's easier for you. But Father Murray always bringing great wisdoms and insight to EWTN Open Line on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, grab your Bibles. It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I'm not going to read the whole gospel. I just want to hit some highlights here that are particularly challenging. So it says, Jesus said to his disciples, to you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Like right there, right? I mean, this is how Jesus starts. Love your enemies. Now, by definition, an enemy is someone who's an adversary, right? Someone who you're in conflict with. And Jesus says that we're to love them. Now, by the very nature of an enemy, this is someone that not necessarily that you hate, but that that hates you and that you have this conflict and tension and struggle with. And we're called, in response to that, we're called to love them. Do good to those who hate you. So think about that one for a second. Do good to those who hate you. Again, we don't respond with anger. We don't respond with vitriol. We don't respond with revenge. We respond with merciful love, right? Hesed in Hebrew. We respond with agape in Greek. We respond with God's merciful love. And he continues. Bless those who curse you. Imagine that when you're trying to speak out on social media and you have a troll who's just getting on your last nerve and just saying spiteful, hateful, evil things, you know. Or when I get an email or a letter from someone that, you know, like the one I got not too long ago, says I wish you were never born, and you know, all these kinds of things. I mean, Jesus said that all of us, we're supposed to bless the people who curse us. Pray for those who mistreat you, you know. And boy, I tell you, I think about Josephine Bakita. You know, she, to me, exemplifies the living out of Jesus's words here. You know, and, you know, when we talked about St. Josephine, you know, we talked about how she said, openly, publicly, that she would, if she ever meet the slave owners who sold her, who severely mistreated and abused her, that she would kiss their feet. Because if it weren't for them, she would never have discovered her Catholic faith. I mean, wow. I mean, that's just so powerful. You know, and then Jesus gives us an example. If the person strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. If a person takes your cloak, offer him your tunic as well. You know, just wow. That's a really, really tough teaching. So how do we go about trying to live this out? And again, would love to hear how you have done this in your own life, how you've overcome, because your testimony will inspire others to do the same. Because look, there's a part of us that likes to hold on to hate. There's a part of us that says, you know, I don't care what this person did to me. You know, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be hateful. I don't ever want to speak to this person again. You know, but boy, Jesus also says in the Our Father, forgive those who trespass against us as we forgive those who trespass. And, you know, cause God will only forgive us to the extent that we're willing to forgive others. You know, God will only forgive us to the extent that we're willing to forgive others. So this is not just, just a suggestion. This is, you know, a mandate by our Lord. You know, and I remember a woman I was speaking with one time who shared just a powerful story with me. She, you know, and it was a context. And when was the last time you placed your trust in someone only to get burned, right? Only to have that trust violated, right? I spoke with this woman and received a letter from her. She's 57 years old, and she found out when she was 14 that she was adopted. You know, not by her adoptive mother telling her, but from an aunt who told her that she was not really part of the family. Right. So imagine that. So you're living your whole life thinking this is your birth mother. Find out that you're 14 years old in those really, you know, turmoil of anxiety and hormones and adolescence, 14 years old, from an aunt telling her that the only reason she told you was that because, you know, they let you know that you're not really part of the family. And then years later, when the woman's mother was elderly and ill, she was the one that the adoptive daughter moved back home, took loving care of her mother, spent all kinds of time and even personal resources to ensure a high quality of care for her mother. And while the aunt, who didn't want her to be part of the family, she did nothing to help. So when the mother decided to draft a will, that's when the aunt got involved. She moved into the house, took over the mother's care, and through an attorney, had the daughter removed from the house. And so the daughter spent years sending Christmas cards, birthday cards, Mother's Day cards and notices for over 10 years. And sadly, never received a response. So she thought, well, maybe because the aunt's home, the mother doesn't care about me anymore. She recently found out that her mother died 2 years ago, and she was never notified of the mother's death. She hired an attorney and discovered that the will that the mother originally drafted was changed, and out of the entire estate, which is worth about $1 million, she would only receive a one-time lump sum of about $5,000. And that was only if she agreed to have no further contact with the family. Imagine that. You know, so this is what Jesus is talking about. So how do you respond to something like this? The tremendous injustice that was done to you. And many of us have, I experienced this with my father. I mean, I didn't speak to my father for 18 years. So I understand this. You know, some people may have done have tremendous wrongs done to them, and the last thing that they want to do is forgive the person. The last thing they want to do is have any contact with the person at all. The last thing they want to do is pray for the person, you know. But this is what God calls us to do. Now, this woman told me in this letter, she said, my first reaction to all of this was to get revenge and to seek justice for all the wrongs that the aunt had inflicted upon her for the past 57 years. So she talked to her attorney, and the attorney said she would have to sue the aunt in civil court for the pain and suffering that was caused by her not notifying her of her mother's death for two years. In fact, she also found out that the aunt was the one who were taking the letters and not giving them to the mother. So the mother had no idea that she was trying to communicate with her because the aunt was blocking the correspondence. So, I mean, man, I mean, that's a real life story of this gospel, you know, that Jesus is saying today. Now, I get it. Look, we've all experienced the pain, the anger, the embarrassment, the resentment that often accompanies an abuse of trust. You know, that abuse of trust, especially if it's by someone that we love or a really good friend. I mean, that kind of violation of trust hurts us deeply, you know, literally at the deepest level of our being, because placing our trust in someone means that we have to pour ourselves out. We expose ourselves. We expose our vulnerabilities with this person that we felt that we could trust, and they violated that trust. So we've exposed ourselves. We made ourselves vulnerable just to get squashed. We let our guard down. And when this gift of vulnerability is violated, our natural response, of course, is what? To get angry? To blame ourselves for being stupid enough to trust someone so completely. And what happens? It becomes much harder to trust anyone ever again. To give that much of ourselves to someone ever again. You know what it feels like? And again, I felt this too. It feels like if part of us is gone, that we'll never get back. That they took something from us that we'll never get back. You know, that's what it feels like. And in the midst of these feelings, in the midst of these emotion, in the midst of these feelings of trauma that we've experienced, Jesus says that we must forgive, that we must show mercy, that we must pray for these people in our lives. That is hard. There's no ifs, ands, buts getting around it. Jesus asks us to do something that is extremely difficult. But would love to hear how you have overcome this, or maybe you're still struggling. If you're willing to share, let's talk about it, because I think your story will help empower others who are struggling or who just can't. They just simply can't overcome what was done to live out Jesus' words to forgive and to pray for the person, and in a real sense, turn the other cheek. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Would love if you're willing to share your story and experience of how you have overcome the hatred in order to be a vehicle of divine mercy and of God's love to the life of someone else. All right? So the key is, if we are to inherit the kingdom of heaven, right, and truly walk in the footsteps of Christ, truly be his disciple, then we must live our faith with complete trust in God. All right? So we must forgive. We must love. We must pray for those who hurt us. You know, but unlike, and always remembering this, that God is also there with us in that pain, in that hurt, in that suffering, in that anxiety. You know, but see, and unlike the love of parents and friends and even spouses that can disappoint and fail us, the love of God the Father will never fail. His love will never fail us. That's why Jesus calls us to do, let's be real, to do the seemingly impossible, to forgive someone who hurt us. But Jesus himself, this, imagine, he's hanging from the cross. He was beat half to death. He's experiencing nails being driven through his body. And in the midst of most excruciating, agonizing, embarrassing death that one could experience, he says, "Father, forgive them." What? That's almost unbelievable. You know, but this is the kind of love that God calls each and every one of us to exhibit to others in our own life.
Yeah, and saying that you forgive someone, even if you don't say it to them, but you say it to God, you let go of it, it's not saying that what they did to you is okay, and it doesn't mean that you're giving grounds for them to continue to hurt you, because you can always say, "I forgive you, but I can't have you in my life." Like, you can always go that route, and that's probably what's healthiest for most. But again, God knows what's going to happen to us before it happens.
Yes.
So he knows what we are ready for, and then he knows the toughness and the faith and the strength that's going to come out of us as we go through that. But you're also saying, "I am strong enough to not allow you to hurt me anymore, and it hurts me to hold on to that hatred and frustration." So they're sleeping at night. They're not worried about what they've done to you. They are, but it's eating at you. It's taking the best parts of you. And God wants you to release that, because it's nothing but toxic.
That's a great reflection, because, and you're right, the only way that you can come to forgive someone is with the love of God.
Amen.
On your own, you can't do it.
Nope.
You can't do it.
We all want
because
vengeance.
Because the emotions and the anger, right? But when you unite that with the love of God, that is the love that allows you to forgive.
Amen.
Right? That is the love where you find, and that's what happened with me. I mean, when the Holy Spirit put that on my heart, it was transformative.
Yeah.
For my dad, you know, to hear those words come out of my mouth, which, and quite frankly, words I never thought I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the power of God's infathomable divine mercy. That's why the divine mercy devotion is so incredibly powerful. Because when we do what Jesus says in the gospel for this Sunday, when we actually do what Jesus says, turn the other cheek in a sense, we become vehicles of God's mercy in the lives of others, particularly those who hurt us. And it's through that experience of God's mercy through us that that person may find the ability to turn back to God themselves.
Absolutely.
That's the key right there.
Amen.
Man, loving this conversation today. We're talking about Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time, where Jesus gives us the tremendous challenge of loving those who hate us. We're talking about that today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today, my friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Denise is calling from Norwalk, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 130. Denise, welcome to Beacon of Truth. Denise, are you there?
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you for having me on. And you and I share something very similar. I, too, went through about 10 years of not communicating with my own dad. And long story short, he called me in a time of need, and I was able to reconnect with him. I'm now his main caretaker. And what a blessing it's been over the last now 10 years of helping him in his time of need, for his physical care, and just being able to rely on God and helping me through the times of pain that I did experience in our relationship, but that God's love and mercy helps us get through it. I'm grateful for that.
Wow, that's a beautiful testimony, Denise. So grateful for that call today. You know, and what you remind me of is someone, Denise, was in a similar situation as you, who were a caretaker for a dad who was abusive. And think about this for a second. You know, we don't know. I often didn't know the full story of my parents, like how they grew up, you know, the poverty that they experienced, the fact that both of them didn't grow up with both parents in the home. And so I didn't think about the fact that my father may not have experienced a deep sense of love when he was younger. And so obviously that, you know, that transferred to our family. But through his, and so he only, you only give what you have. So he wasn't able to give us the kind of love because he didn't have it himself to give. But imagine now, we as followers of Christ are able to show that love to them. So at least even at the end of their life, being the caretaker for a sick parent, or for me, I was praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at my father's bedside when he passed. We get to show them and what the love of God is actually like in these moments when they're weak and they're vulnerable. And our tendency is, I'm not going to take care of you. You didn't do anything for me. You were abusing me. You did. So yeah, I hope you die a painful death. No. Instead, we respond with the love that Christ calls us to today. And that strength can only come from God. That strength can only come from the Holy Spirit and cooperating with the grace of the sacrifice to be that vehicle of mercy and love and witness in the lives of those that may have not treated us with the dignity and respect that we deserved. But now, instead of being spiteful and revengeful, we get to show that to them. Beautiful, Denise. We're talking about the Sunday Gospel, Seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, where Jesus challenges us on this Word of God Wednesday. Let's go. Let's continue our discussion today. So let's kind of get to the end of the story that I was telling. What happened with this woman? So, she reflected on actually this particular gospel, and later on in the gospel, Jesus says, "Stop judging, and you will not be judged," which means, right, we love everyone. We always don't love their actions. We judge actions. We never judge people. So she said, Jesus says, taught us to turn the other cheek. So how do I do this? She prayed and asked for guidance, and she made a promise to listen to whatever God said to her. She made a promise to listen. And so she said the solution came when she stopped feeling bitterness and anger and truly listened to God with her heart. And she found that she could forgive her aunt for the greed, the lack of compassion. And when they said, we're Christians, they confessed to be Christians while committing these transgressions against her. And so she thanks God every day for giving her the strength to forgive. So she did it through a life of prayer. Let's go to Dorothy calling from Moorhead, Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Dorothy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you.
So what would you like to share with us today, Dorothy?
Well, I had a very difficult relationship with my older sister growing up. We were close in age, only 16 months apart, and she made a lot of decisions that were not the best decisions, and I kind of chose to stick closer to my parents and what they were saying. Well, because of that, the kind of bitterness grew between us, and she became very verbally abusive. It definitely affected relationships in the school I was at. It affected family relationships, and it affected me very much personally. And so I really struggled with her and her relationship. I was so happy when she went off to college. But then I went off to college the next year, and I went to a Catholic school. And hearing the gospel about forgiveness, how many times, it kind of hit me that I needed to forgive her. And I kind of debated with God. I'm like, well, she's never asked, for forgiveness. She's never even said she's sorry, and she's hurt me so deeply. I don't want to forgive her.
Yeah.
But I felt God calling me, yes, you need to forgive her. And so I continued to pray about it, and eventually God showed me. He goes, look at the cross. You never asked for forgiveness for your sins before I died on the cross for you. She doesn't need to ask for forgiveness. You need to forgive her. And so that was really the turning point. And instead of kind of fighting God on that I needed to forgive her, I just asked for his grace to help me forgive her. And even if the feelings didn't feel like it, that he would help me choose to forgive her and continue to choose to forgive her when those feelings came up, that I was still frustrated with her and different things were affected in my life because of her.
Yeah, thank you for that beautiful testimony. And you're exactly right. You got to pray for people even when they did not ask for forgiveness. Beautiful. All right. Well, next week we're going to take a look at is Jesus God or a yogi? We're going to take a look at that tomorrow. Right? So is Jesus God or is he just like a new age kind of guru or teacher? Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.